Well, I'm thankful to be here again. I need your prayers. Lord, bless His Word. I'd like to begin in the 26th chapter of Isaiah. I'd like to speak a little while by the help of the Lord about ruling our spirit. Isaiah 26 in the first verse says, "In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks." Says that there is a day that will come. I believe that we're in that day that the song will be sung. A song of victory that says we have a strong city. You know, as you look and you think about throughout the Old Testament, what made up a strong city? You think about the city of Jericho. Remember what it was that the children of Israel faced whenever they encountered Jericho? It was a wall. A large, a tall, a thick wall. It was said of the city of Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar that there were three walls that surrounded the city. The walls were thick enough that they could hold chariot races on the top of the walls. A strong city. A city that's known for its protection, for its defenses, that it's not a vulnerable place. It's a place that I'd like to think of that I would live in. A place of protection and of safety. When you know the Lord has a place like that for us to live in, a place that we can dwell in that is safe from the enemy. Not talking about enemies that are out in the world of mankind. That's not who our enemy really is. But we have a strong city, and there's great encouragement in that for me. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. I've seen some beautiful cities. Neat, clean. You feel safe in them. Well, I'd like to turn and look at another picture of a city. Proverbs, the 25th chapter. Proverbs 25 and the 28th verse. "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." You ever been through a city like that? Oh, we don't look at cities today with walls and bulwarks like that for their protection. But you ever been in a neglected, run-down part of town? I drive every day to work through a section of town that I think, I hope I never break down here. This isn't a place that I'd want to be outside of my locked doors. It doesn't seem like a safe area. You know, the Scripture here is speaking about a condition of a heart. A condition of a life where the defenses are broken down. Where the walls are crumbling. Where you look on the life and on the heart of the individual and the defenses are gone. They're vulnerable. It says here, a man that has no rule or no control over his own spirit is like that city that's broken down and without walls. Oh, the Lord has a strong city. It said that salvation will He appoint for walls and bulwarks. Our salvation, it's a strength. It's a defense to us. Oh, you look around and you see all the lives that are shipwrecked and disaster that's happened and brokenness and broken dreams and broken homes. And you look on all that that the enemy has taken people to. You know, there's nothing about me as an individual that says I'm above that. That I'm above getting into that kind of place. But by the mercy of the Lord, by the salvation, the walls of salvation that He would erect in every one of our lives, to be able to keep a hedge and a protection about us. I had a man that called me early one morning. I could tell by his voice that he was in trouble. He was broken up and he said, "Clint, I've got to talk to you. When can I meet with you?" And I said, "I can be there in a few minutes." And I met, when I got to the place that we were meeting, I could tell he was in trouble. And he said, "We need to go in and talk." And he broke down and began crying and talking to me and said, "Clint, I need help. I'm in trouble here." He said, I've had so much alcohol that I ought to be dead right now. Said, I don't know why I do it. I've got an alcohol problem and I've got to face up to it and I've got to do something about it because if I don't, I'm going to die. And as I began talking with that man and hearing the sad, sad story of his life, he was a man that was broken. He was a man that was filled with regrets. He said, I don't want to be this way. I don't like the man that I see. I don't like what it's doing to my family. I don't want to be this way. You know, it's such a sad condition. It's like a city that's without walls and broken down. The defenses are gone and almost a hopeless picture. But it's not. There is one that is able to rebuild walls. Read in the news one time about a man, young man in his 20s. He had a 6-week-old son. And he was watching a game on television and the child, as 6-week-old babies tend to do at times, was fussy. And this man had an anger problem. And he hadn't dealt with it. And as that child began to fuss and he was trying to focus his attention on what was most important to him, his anger began to build. And he didn't check it. He didn't get it in control. And he took his 6-week-old son in a fit of anger and he threw the child across the room and killed it. Can you imagine what went through that man's mind afterwards? Can you imagine whenever the anger finally subsided? Read about another man in the United Kingdom that had grown up in a, I would call it a fairly normal home and had good grades in school, but he had an issue. Began to have some anger problems. You ever hear of people with anger management problems? I worked in a place and met a young man that one of the first things that he told me, and I don't know why he did, but fair warning, I guess. He told me his name and said, I've been to anger management classes 3 times. You know, this world is filled with people that aren't able to control their own spirits. This man that in the United Kingdom, he had some anger trouble and he didn't deal with it and he got married and at times he would get aggressive and at times he'd be a little rough with his wife and came to the point after some arguments or fights that they had, she left him and went and married someone else and they had some trouble, I believe as the story went, and separated from him. So he moved in with his mother. Said that he was always very close to his mother. He loved his mother. They would live together. She tried to help him and tried to help get him back on his feet a little bit. But there was something about the man. It wasn't his wife. It wasn't the situation around him. There was something within the man that he hadn't dealt with. You can run from your problems, but if you don't deal with them, they'll follow you. And that man, as he moved in with his mother, those same anger issues followed him. And he got into an argument with his mother that by all accounts he was so close to. Spare some of the detail of the story, but he strangled his mother to death in a fit of rage. In an argument when anger and passions began to get heated and elevated, he allowed himself to be given over completely to that thing. It ruled him, see? He didn't rule that thing. He didn't check it. He didn't get it in control, and it controlled him. To the point that he strangled his own mother. And as he gave the testimony in court, he said, I don't know why I did it. As I did it, I tried to resuscitate her, and I tucked her in bed, and I sat there talking to her for a long time and telling her I'm sorry. Folks, it doesn't do any good then. You know how many lives and homes and marriages and dreams are shattered? The Lord is able to put things back together. But folks, let's control our spirit. Let's rule our spirit. That man didn't rule his spirit, and oh, the regret. The judge told him, you're going to live with that the rest of your life. You're going to have to live with the knowledge of what you did to your own mother in a fit of rage. And you think, why did I do it? Why could I not? Other times I'm normal, but there's something here that I haven't conquered. 2 Peter, the second chapter. Second Peter 2, beginning with the 10th verse. Chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. 12th verse. But these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots are they, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices. Cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. It says that these are they in the 12th verse that as natural brute beast. You know what it's saying? Natural is by nature. According to nature, that that you're born with. You ever hear that today? Well, they were born like that. They were born in this condition. They were born with that orientation, if you want to call it that. They were born with that. They've always been that way. You know, whenever Adam and Eve sinned and plunged the world into sin, it said after that time, you notice Adam was formed in the image of God. But after he plunged, death, sin came by Adam, and by sin came death upon all men, that passed upon all men. And as Adam then bore his own children, it said that he bore his children in his own image, with that same carnal nature. Do you know, as I hear those kind of arguments and I hear those kind of excuses, they couldn't help that. You hear sometimes of a mass shooting or some terrible deed that's done, and the excuse given, there was a mental condition, or they had a bad home. And folks, I know there can be difficult circumstances, but I'm here to tell us tonight, there is a God that's able to allow us to rule our own spirit. There is a God that's not so weak that He has to be held by the chains of what happened to me in my life, or because of who I am, or because of what my nature is. These men, he said, as natural brute beast. They're just following their own instinct. Do you know why we can't follow our instincts like the animals do? The animals follow their instincts and it works together beautifully. Men follow their instincts and they do things that even the animals don't do. Because of sin. Because of sin that gets in the heart. And I say, you know, there's a seed within every child that's born. There's a seed if you allow that thing to grow up. If you allow that tree to grow, it has the potential to bear all kinds of evil in the life of a person. It has the potential. The seed is there. Yes, I was born with something. But thank the Lord, the message of the gospel is you don't have to give in to it. You don't have to be ruled in your life by these kind of things that the enemy would bring. Natural brute beast. Just like the animals, following after their passions. You know, our world is in a drunken, mad dash to try to fulfill every fleshly desire and lust that they can. I pulled through a drive-thru to get some food on the way down here. And I saw a sign advertising a game, electronic game. And I saw the disclaimer on the bottom of the game advertisement. Contains explicit content. Contains nudity. Contains strong language contains extreme violence. And there was a whole list of things. And I think, why would you want to play it? Why would you want it? And you know, it appeals to every fleshly, carnal desire and appetite. It's the direction that our world is going. You want to sell something? You appeal to one of these areas. You want to... That's what you appeal to, because people are pursuing the natural desires. Left to my own devices, if I don't check this thing, folks, there are many, many desires that will destroy our souls if we don't learn to rule our spirit. It seems that many people, as I was talking to someone recently about the... seems like the battle, spiritual battle that we're in today in our nation, trying to redefine marriage and what that means, and some of that argument is, God made me that way. I was born that way and I can't help it. And I'm talking about sin, this individual said, well, you know, it's really no different than any other sin. You know what's happened? People, for longer than the last 5 years, they've begun to excuse sin in their lives. They've come up against things that I can't conquer. I can't overcome this in my life. So I either justify it, I say I'm lost. Many, many people are saying that I can't control this thing. I can't rise above that. So it must mean it's not possible. You can't rise above it. And I'm here to agree that no, you can't. You can in your own selves, but there's one that's able to. There's one that's able to lift us up. 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. First Corinthians 6:9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And then it goes on to say, and such were some of you. But the story doesn't end there, does it? It doesn't end there and say, you're really in the same place. You're really in the same condition, but with the name of Christian attached to it. There's a better way. There's a better way than that. The gospel does something better for us than just to change our name. It does something better for us than just to try to suppress something where people can't see it. The Lord wants to do something more than that, a complete work that He wants to do. Such were some of you. You know of the saints? You don't know, looking on a saint of God, what was in their background, what the Lord delivered them from. Such were some of you. Of all this list that you've seen. But Jesus came to add the but to the Scripture. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I'd like to look at Luke, the 8th chapter. Eighth chapter of Luke. Let's begin in the 27th verse. When he came forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands, and was driven of the devil in the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. Folks, this is a man, you look at a picture like this and you look at people that are in the depths of sin and it seems so far removed sometimes. But you know, it doesn't start there. it sometimes starts with small self-indulgences. I just entertain the flesh a little bit. I just give a little place to the devil. He'll become a ruler. This man had gotten into a place that they had tried to contain him. They had tried to take care of the problem. They had tried to put chains on him. Oh, I wonder how many people in our world today are fettered and held in chains. But you know, it didn't work. Everything that they had tried to do to treat the problem. You know, I believe our world today is trying to treat our problems as a nation and a society and all the wrong problems. It's not antidepressants that's going to change the course of our nation. That's not what's... It's not some counseling or therapy or... That's not the answer here. There's a spirit problem. Some spirits need to be changed. Some lives need to be transformed. Oh, more than just a mask put on. Deliverance came to this man. Whenever Jesus spoke to him, Jesus didn't just bind him with stronger chains. Jesus changed the man. He cast the devil out of him. He gave the man the rule over his spirit. Now you're the ruler. Now I give you the power to reign over this thing in your life. And so the Lord has the same power today. I'd like to look at the 13th chapter of Jeremiah. Scripture that I read that man as he talked with me that morning. Jeremiah 13 and verse 23. Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to evil. As I told the man, this is something that you're not going to be able to change on your own. There are things that get a hold of individuals that truly do rule them, that they can't rise above, that maybe I try to do better, I purpose to do better. That man, no doubt, he didn't intend in the UK, he didn't intend to beat his wife. Maybe afterwards he said, I'm sorry for it, I don't know why I did it, I'll never do it again. But there's something more than just intentions. There's something more than a desire to do better. There's coming to one that's able to change the spots of the leopard. And now thinking about leper. Remember Naaman? Naaman was a well-to-do man, it seems, a well-known man. But he had a problem. He had leprosy. You know, there's nothing that he could do about it. His family name didn't help him with it. His desire to be free from it didn't help him with it. But we heard a song before the message. I know a man who can. And there was a little servant girl that said, oh, I would that you could go to the man of God of Israel and go see him, because he could surely cure you of this. And so he went, and we know the story. As he went and was willing to humble himself, he couldn't do it on his own terms. He wasn't able to purpose within himself. I don't like the leprosy. It's a plague to me. Do you have tonight places in your life that you look at and say, I don't want to be this man or woman. I don't like what I see in the mirror. You know, there's a man that can. There's one that we can go to that's able to free us from all of that. That's able to take the spots away. That I can be added to the number, such were some of you. Past tense. But now you're changed. Your heart's transformed. I've set you on a new path. Delivered you from it. There's a better way than trying to justify it, live with it, excuse it, cover it up, hide it, purposing to do better and falling into the same track over and over and over. There's one that's able. When we come to the place to realize, Lord, the walls are broken down. Lord, there are places here that I'm vulnerable. The enemy's gotten in here and I'm not able to control this thing about myself. Lord, I need deliverance and I need help. As I mentioned, sometimes it's starts with the small things. Proverbs speaks about going by the field of the slothful, by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And I looked and considered a well and received instruction by it. It said that the walls were broken down and thorns and nettles covered the face of it. That was a process of time. That was a process of neglect. You know, carelessness and complacency will get us into a place that the walls begin to crumble. That the defenses, the carefulness that I have will lead to self-indulgence. It'll lead to what's wrong with a little sleep, a little folding of the hands, a little slumber. You allow that thing to rule you and it'll destroy you. You don't get control over this, folks, in so many aspects of our lives. Lord, help us that I not be brought under the power of any. I'm not going to be subjected or brought into bondage or captivity in my life. Reminded of a story of the city of Sardis. You read about the city. There's a letter addressed to them in the Revelations. Sardis was situated on the top of, best I understand it, or a cliff or a bluff. A high area that was well fortified. There were walls around the city. It was considered to be an impenetrable city. You can't get into it. The only way you can get in is by the ramp or the high place that got into the city, and that's where the guards were. They got so confident in that, they thought no one can ever... They had tried. Nobody had ever been able up to this point in time to get into the city. The enemies, the armies that had encamped around them, it's just too difficult. You just can't get up into it. But there was a process that had begun to work. There were cracks that had begun to develop in the walls of the city. You know what happens with cracks? If they're left neglected, if you don't deal with them when they're small, they grow into something that's much bigger. And remember, these people that lived in Sardis were very confident. There's no way I can fall here. There's no way that I can be overrun. Well, the Persian army decided they'd try. They came and encamped around the city, led by Cyrus. And as they were watching one day, they noticed a soldier that had dropped his helmet over the wall. And he thought no one was watching, so he slipped through one of those cracks that used to be small, but had been neglected and never taken care of, and now the crack was big enough that he was able to slip out, pick up his helmet, and get back up. But the problem was, there was a soldier down in the valley below that had watched what had just happened. And he said, "Now I see the entrance. Now I see the way to get in. There's a place here that they're vulnerable." You know, the enemy is looking for areas in our lives that we're vulnerable. Areas that I haven't dealt with, that I haven't brought under subjection, that I'm weak in. You know, that's the place the enemy wants to target. And that's just what they did. They went up and they followed that same path that they saw the soldier take. They got into the city at night. No one was expecting him because nobody was watching for him because it wasn't supposed to happen. "Take heed, he that thinketh he standeth, lest he fall." You remember what Paul said in the 9th chapter of 1 Corinthians? We think of Paul as a great man of God, and he was. But I'd like to read what he wrote here in 1 Corinthians 9:27. "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." You know, Paul realized that there is something here that has the potential. If I'm not careful, if I'm not on my guard, if I don't guard against this thing in my life, it could destroy me. You know, I would venture to say that there are things about every one of us that if we're not on our guard would destroy us. Weaknesses that I have. Maybe it's sin that I was involved with before I came to the Lord. Then you know the enemy knows those areas that if left unguarded, or if I become careless, If I become lukewarm and complacent, that I'm not guarding that area, that I'm not fortified, I'm like a city, a man that has no rule over his spirit, like a city with walls that are broken down, just waiting. I'm vulnerable. I'm open, just as Legion was. He had gotten into a place that he didn't control it. He didn't keep under his body. He didn't rule that thing, and it began to rule him. And he was open to the spirits that came in and filled him. He was so given over to it. All people in our world, it seems like, are giving themselves over more and more. But I want to issue a challenge to us. How are the walls in your life? How are the walls of your heart? Are there areas that I look at and I say, I know I don't have this brought under. I know this thing gets me sometimes. Paul said, as he brought it out here, it means, if you look at the words, keep under my body, it is to beat black and blue, to harass endlessly. Folks, this is an ongoing fight. This is a battle that we'll face until the end of our lives. Fight the good fight of faith. Stay on your guard against those areas about every one of us, of my own spirit, of my own tendencies. Don't allow those things to begin to rule in your life. Paul said, I bring that under, that I not find myself shipwrecked. Won't turn and read it, but in James, the 3rd chapter. Folks, we're not just talking about alcoholics. Folks addicted to pornography and filth of this world. Talks about in the 3rd chapter of James, a little member. It said that we put a bit in the horse's mouth. By that we turn the horse. The ship has a helm, and by that the governor of the ship, the one that has the rule over the ship, is able to turn the ship whatever direction he is. And he uses that analogy to show us the power of our tongue, the power of our words. And oh, what a great matter, what a great fire this little member is able to start. How many trouble, how many problems, how much strife in families and homes and marriages and congregations could be avoided if I had this member under control. If I ruled this thing, I don't know why I said that. It popped into my mind. You know, I believe it was David that said, Lord, set a watch before my mouth. Lord, I want to rule this thing. I want to rule this member. I don't want to just follow it wherever it takes me. Lord, help me to govern my words, my mouth, the things that I bring forth. Ephesians, the 4th chapter in the 26th verse says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Folks, I don't believe that it is saying that you'll never feel emotion. But you better not let it rule you. You better not give yourself over to it. You better check that thing whenever it begins to rise, because if you don't check it, if you allow it, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't allow that thing to fester. Don't allow that thing to grow. Deal with it on the spot. Deal with it when it's small before it becomes such a large monster that you're not able to capture it. Deal with that thing and get it under control. Every man, Paul said also in the 25th verse here, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Temperate. In control of myself, of my desires, of my passions, of my emotions, of the way what I give myself over to in every line of our lives. Whatsoever therefore ye do, whatsoever ye eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. How are the walls of the city tonight? You know that little seed that we mentioned that Adam passed down? You know the Lord gave a remedy to all of this? The story wasn't over with Naaman. The story wasn't over with Legion. There's a remedy. The Lord is able to mend the broken walls. The Lord is able to conquer, folks, things that we cannot conquer. Things that we're not able to rise above. Yes, things of sin. Things of deep grip that have people's lives and hearts that I think, there's no way I can ever get free of this. There's no way I can ever rise above it. I've tried and I can't do it. Yes, sin. But folks, I want to ask us saints now. Do we have the faith to believe that God can change us? Do we have places in our lives that we ever see that I say, I need to change something here? I realize now this thing, there's something there that's got a hold of me. There's something there that I need to shake loose of. Lord, I need more power in my life. You know the remedy? The Lord gave and sent the Holy Spirit. That it would come to give us power to live a godly life. Give us power to be able to rise above self and the flesh. To be able to walk after the Spirit. To not give ourselves over to every wind, to the nature that the Scripture talked about, the instincts. That way it just turned over to my own devices that I would take. The Lord is offering for us to be the ruler. He's offering us the keys that bind us, saying you can be set free. And bind that thing. You can be the ruler. You don't have to be brought under. I don't have to always go through my life. I'm always going to have to be this way. I couldn't help myself. Well, I don't know why I did it. It's just the way I am. You know, the Lord came to change the way we are. The Lord came to make us a new creation. But such were some of you. He that ruleth his own spirit well, another scripture says, is better than he that taketh a city. You ever hear of Alexander the Great? He's a man that conquered much of the world, many cities, people, nations. He's famous. But there's something that Alexander the Great was not able to conquer. And that was Alexander the Great. His own passions, desires and lust he wasn't able to control. And he too, in a fit of rage, turned and killed his very dearest friend. Alexander, you're such a mighty man. You're able to do all this, but there's something here. Folks, there's something that's bigger than any of us. Don't let the enemy deceive you and think, I've got this. I can control this. I can hide this. I can take care of this. If we don't deal with it when it's small, it'll become larger. Rule your spirit. How are the walls tonight? You pray for me that I might be able to rule my spirit. Amen.